guys, welcome to Telling the Told and Untold. My name is Tsiro. August is Women's Month, so we will be continuing with our yearly series where I cover gender-based violence cases in the month of August. So if there are any particular cases you would like me to cover this month, please just let me know down in the comments or in the case suggestion link that I have in the description box. Before we go straight into today's case, I do have to give you guys a couple of content warnings. In this video, we do talk about suicide, dismemberment, and domestic abuse. So if that's not something you think you're interested in watching, then this video probably isn't for you. So maybe you can watch some of my other videos or just wait for my next upload. Tshepang Pitse was born on the 3rd of March 1998 in Muruleng, which is a small township outside of Rustenburg in the northwest. Tshepang was described as someone who was kind, caring. She loved learning. She loved education so much so that her primary and high school career was all paid for because she just did so well in school. At the time of today's case, she was a fourth year medicine student at the University of Fitz. Unfortunately, when Tshepang was just 15 years old, on the 2nd of June 2013, her mother passed away. Not much is known about the circumstances of her mother's passing, but what we do know from Tshepang's younger sister is that their mother was in a relationship and unfortunately this person took her life. After their mother passed away, Tshepang and Tunuru were left in the care of Tshepang's father, and Tshepang is actually her dad's last born, and Tenolo and Tshepang share a mother. They don't share a father. According to Tenolo, her mother told her that she was sexually assaulted and that sexual assault led to Tshepang. So that was the case, but they still live together with Tshepang's father. So after the mother passed away, they lived with Tshepang's father, but that really didn't last for long. Right after the funeral, their maternal family came to fetch the girls so that they could live with them. And at the time, their father, Tshepang's father rather, was so grief-stricken that he just didn't have the energy to fight, to keep both girls with him, so he just let them go. And it said that the reason why the maternal family wanted the girls to live with them and not Tshepang's father is because they saw him as almost like an absent father, which is not the case. Apparently Tshepang and Tenolo's mother was a nurse and she worked in the UK, not South Africa, but when she would come back to South Africa, she would work odd jobs here and there. So the girls were primarily raised by Tshepang's father. Yeah. So Tshepang's mother had about 4 or 5 siblings. So when Tshepang and Tenolo were taken from Tshepang's father, they first lived with the eldest aunt, and then afterwards they moved in with their uncle, and then they finally settled in with their aunt, and her name is Grace Tlhabangwane. It's said that when she fetched the girls, she was really aggressive, and that wasn't out of the ordinary because she was described as someone who was very violent. And it is believed that the reason why she was so adamant on having both girls in her home is because she thought that their mother had left them an inheritance. So at the time, Tshepang and Tenolo were both underage, so if they had been left with an inheritance, they wouldn't have access to it until they were 18. So the reason why she wanted the girls so badly was just for their money, not because she cared for them and wanted to raise them. I'm not too sure how many children Grace had, but one of them was a son and his name is Flavio Tlhabangwane, and he and Tshepang are first cousins because their mothers are sisters, biologically, their mothers have the same mother and father, so they're cousins. Remember that. It is also believed that Grace and her children did practice African traditional medicine, Muti, but not in the traditional way. Can I say that? They used it more negatively to affect people's lives, but we can't confirm or deny this. Allegedly. Grace and Flavio's father separated in 2012 whilst Flavio was in matric, and this is because apparently Flavio's father had just lost his job and he just wasn't making a lot of money, and Grace just got like grew super tired of him, so she just decided to kick him out of the house, and that was the last time that he ever saw his estranged wife. Now going back to Flavio, Flavio was described as someone who was extremely bright, a recluse, a bookworm, and he really kept to himself. Just like Tepang, he was extremely smart, he was head boy, and he did really well in school, so much so that he matriculated with 7 distinctions, one of them being 100% in maths. You understand how hard pure maths is? And then you matriculate with 100%. That's crazy. But yeah, after this, he went on to study actual sciences at the University of Wits, and eventually he did graduate. At the time of today's case, he was working at Old Mutual, and he's also said to be like the type of person who, if you spend time with him, you would feel really comfortable, like you wouldn't feel like weird or just odd about being around him, you know, like he was that kind of person. And his family believed that he was staying in Randburg. He told his whole family that he was staying in Randburg, but he was actually staying in Soweto. And the distance between Randburg and Soweto, depending on where you live in Soweto, you could say maybe like 20 to 30 minutes from Randburg. So it's quite a bit of a distance. And it is believed that the reason why he told his mother this and his family this is because he just didn't want them to like look down on him. And it's also believed that he would give his mother most of the money that he would earn. He was extending the family's home, so he really couldn't afford a nice, like, I don't know, like flat or apartment. He was renting a back room actually in Soweto, Prettier Glen. So with Tabang and Tinolo staying with their aunt Grace and their cousins, including Flavio, something happened whilst they were staying together, and soon Flavio and Tabang started dating in 2016. Remember, they're first cousins, but the two of them started dating. Some sources do say that Tabang and Flavio were actually married, but we can't confirm or deny this. The two of them didn't have any children together, but according to Tinolo, Tabang did suffer multiple miscarriages. Then in 2017, Flavio started experimenting with hardcore drugs, and then according to him, in 2018, whilst attending a party with Tabang, he was introduced to cocaine and he became addicted. He says that when he was intoxicated, he would become hyperactive, talkative, friendly, sexually active, and then he was later introduced to crystal meth, which made him lose focus, not be able to sleep for days. He would lose touch with reality, become delusional, suspicious, and irritable. As far as we know, Tabang did not engage in any of Flavio's drug habits. It is said that she did not drink or smoke all her life, so he just did that by himself. It's also said, and there is evidence, that in their relationship, Flavio was extremely abusive, both mentally and physically. It's said that the abuse started in 2019, so 2 years into their relationship, but you know, we can't say for sure. Flavio would tell Tepang what clothes she was allowed to wear. She wasn't allowed talking to other men because he would get really angry. And there was one time where Tepang had spent the night at her friend's home, we'll call her Tandy, and she spent the night at Tandy's place. And then the next morning, whilst they were waiting for Flavio to pick Tepang up, she sat down and she just started crying, and she told Tandy that Flavio had been abusing her. And then Flavio came, picked her up, and then that was the end of it. There was another time it's said that they got into an argument, and then he placed her face on a 2-plate stove so that, you know, he could burn it. There was another instance in November 2019 where Tabang called her friend Tuli and told her that Flavio was going to kill her. She then got into an Uber and went to her friend's home, and once she got there, Flavio started calling Tuli, and she didn't understand where he had gotten her numbers from. So she answered the call, and he demanded to speak to Thabang, but she refused, and he kept telling her to give Thabang the phone. She then told him that Thabang was in the bath, and then Thabang was just in the background crying. And then the following day, she complained to her friend Tuli once again that Flavio was still hitting her. And then the friend advised her to leave him for good, and Thabang refused, saying that the friend wouldn't understand why she can't leave Flavio, and that without Flavio she doesn't see color. I'm not too sure what that means, but that's what she said. And then sometime later, Flavio called Thabang, and this time Thabang answered the phone, and she was literally crying and she was begging him. She was like, please, when I get home, don't cut my face. And the call ended, and Tuli was like, that's not normal. You can't beg someone like not to cut your face just because you didn't go home for one night. So then she locked Thabang in her bedroom, trying to make sure that Thabang wouldn't go back to Flavio, but she literally couldn't force Thabang to stay in the room, and Thabang wanted to go back. So she eventually opened the door, and then she walked Thabang to the taxi rank, and then Thabang got into the taxi and she went back to the back room that she shared with Flavio. Flavio later texted Tuli and basically just told her not to interfere in his relationship with Thabang. And then later that night, Thabang called Tuli crying, saying that Flavio threatened to cut off her artificial dreads that she had. And she later sent a picture of her dreads on the floor. And the next day she called crying, saying that Flavio had shaved her head. At that point, Thabang was suicidal, so Tuli spoke to her and tried to convince her not to take her life. And after that, Thabang texted Tuli and basically just told her that they can't be friends if she didn't respect Flavio. And I personally believe that she was not the one to send this message. I do think that Flavio is the one to... he's the one that sent it to Tuli, but the two of them still continued being friends. In August the following year, Thabang spent the night at Tuli's place once again, and she told her that Flavio was still abusing her and he was also talking to other women. She also told her that this time Flavio would like make her bring him food and then kneel down and say, my king, you know, like, my king, here's your food. And you know, traditionally, or like some cultural practice, like in some cultural practices, like when you give like maybe like your husband or the elders, you give them food, like maybe you'll kneel down and you give them food. But it wasn't like that. It wasn't like in a traditional sense or her practicing like something culturally. It was like forced, like this is what you have to do. And Flavio was like asserting dominance, like, you know. There was also another time where Flavio slapped Thabang so hard that she started bleeding, and then afterwards he said, and I quote, wipe off your stupid blood and come give me a blowjob. There were voice notes found on Tuli's phone that Flavio had sent her, so I'm just going to read a couple of them to you. The first one said, I'm not interested in your advice on how I should be running my relationship. I have that under control. So please do not give me advice as to how I should treat my girlfriend and what's best for her. You could never love her more than I do. The second one is, if you feel you love her more than I do, then take her to Durban. But you guys must tell me where I stand. It's fine. I don't effing care. Don't tell me how to effing talk to my girlfriend. The third one is, I had an agreement with you that you're gonna see her tomorrow if you wanna spend time with her. I'm not trying to sabotage her. I'm not trying to break you guys apart. And she, talking about Thabang, knows that. And then the third one is, what kind of advice is she must walk away? That is not matured advice. According to Thenolo, Thabang's sister, she was not allowed to talk to Thabang at all, which is really strange when you think about the fact that they used to live in the same house together with Flavio's mother, Grace. So sometimes when Flavio and Thabang would also come over, they would tell her that, like, you know, she's not allowed talking to Thabang. They would speak in the room, just the three of them, and they would tell her to go away. And sometimes if she tried to speak, they would shout at her. And they once threatened to file a protection order against her because they said that she was stressing Thabang out. It is believed that Flavio and Tabang broke up sometime in July or September 2021. And it's also around the same time that she went to go live with her father for a couple of months. So at this point, her father was staying in Pretoria and she was studying at the University of Wits, which is in Joburg. So it's about a 40-minute distance. So she went to go stay with her father, which wasn't out of the ordinary. Sometimes she would see her father during the school holidays, or she would see him on weekends, or she would just come on weekends to do her laundry and then she'd go back to where she stayed. But this time she went in July and she stayed there for a while until the 6th of October, when her father was out at work and he received a phone call from Tabang. And Tabang basically just told him that she was leaving and she asked where she should put the key for the gate. And he told her just put it in like the little post box, you know, where they put mail in. So he's like, just put the key there and just told her to be safe. And then he ended his workday at around 4 p.m. and when he got home, Tabang was still there. So he was like, you know what, Tabang, it's fine, let me just take you to the station. I'm assuming he meant like the Gau train station. It's like, do you know train services in Gauteng, the province? Mostly Joburg and Pretoria, but you know what I mean. So after that, Tabang said, you know, like, no, it's fine, my friend is coming to pick me up. And her dad just said, okay. Then he went to his bedroom, and as he was in the bedroom, he heard like this friend come. So he got out of his room, he went to go see who the friend was, and it was Flavio. So he didn't really think much of it, because as far as he knew, you know, like, Flavio is her cousin, and at some point they stay together with Flavio's mom and Tabang's aunt. So he just saw them, he greeted Flavio, and then when she looked at the door, because Flavio was taking Tabang's bags and like putting them in his car, he noticed that she had a lot of bags. When she'd usually leave, maybe for like a day or 2 days, she would just have like one bag, but this time she had so many bags and it seemed like she was never coming back. And he didn't say anything, but he just took note of it and he just thought that, like, you know, it was just a bit strange. The next day, Tabang's dad called her and she answered her phone, and they would continue talking for the next week or two when suddenly her phone just was off. He would try calling her and it would go straight to voicemail, and at the time he didn't think much of it because he knew that when Tabang was studying for like tests or her exam, she would always switch off her phone. But when she would finally switch it back on, she would call her dad back immediately. But this time she never did. But like, he literally just didn't think anything was wrong. He was like, you know what, it's October, November, exams are probably started, and she's just busy studying. That same month that Tabang left her father's home, so in October, Flavio called Tuli, Tabang's friend, once again. And she was so surprised when he called her because she had gotten a new phone and a new number. So she didn't understand where he had gotten her numbers from once again. And this time when he was on the phone, he told her that, you know, that the two of them should basically get into a relationship, and you know that he wanted her. And Tuli replied that Flavio wasn't her type, and then she was also like, how could you do that to my friend, you know, like your girlfriend? And then Flavio went on to say that he and Tabang broke up a while ago, and Tuli was like, okay, that's fine, but you know, I don't want to be in a relationship with you. And then she dropped the phone and she tried getting a hold of Tabang to just let her know what Flavio had said to her, but she couldn't get a hold of her. And then afterwards, she asked Flavio where Tabang was, and he said that she was taking a break from social media and just focusing on her exams, and that's why her phone was off. Then on the 10th of November 2021, Tuli received a WhatsApp message from Tabang's phone number. We don't know what the message said, but she did receive a message from Tabang. On the 13th of November, Tabang's father hadn't heard from her for over a month at this point, and he was listening to the radio when he heard breaking news, and it was that body parts had been found in a freezer of a man who lived in Soweto, and he didn't think much of it, but it would come back to haunt him later. So on the 12th of November, so the day before news broke, Flavio had been out on a date with his girlfriend. Some sources say it was literally a first date. And after this, he and the girl went back to the back room that he rented and she spent the night. Then the next morning, Flavio left the house and he went to go buy food for them to eat. But some other sources say that he just went out to the shops to buy something and that his girlfriend, or this girl that he didn't really know, got up and she was trying to make them breakfast. So she was going through the fridge, or she was just trying to get herself something to drink. But the point is, she got up, she went to the fridge, she opened the fridge, didn't see anything. She opened the freezer, she saw a black plastic. She opened it, and this is when she saw a hand. And immediately she got so scared. She was so terrified that she literally ran straight out of that house to a neighbor's house. The way she was so scared, she literally didn't have time to grab anything. It said that she was just in her underwear when she literally ran out and went to the neighbor's house. And some sources say that the neighbor thought it was someone just selling food, which I don't understand if, like, this girl was not dressed. But anyways, the neighbor was like struggling to open the gate because there was something wrong with the key. And then eventually she opened the gates and this woman just ran inside the house and she was scared. Like, the neighbor said she could tell that she was dizzy, she looked disorientated, and, you know, like, she could barely speak. But eventually she told this neighbor what she had saw, and then news spread all over the neighborhood. spread all over the neighborhood. And at this point, Flavio had returned home and the neighbors were surrounding his house. And then when he looked out the window, he saw that police were there too. And this is when he grabbed a knife and he stabbed himself in the neck, trying to take his own life. But he didn't succeed, and then he was taken to Chris Hani Hospital and then later taken into custody. After her dad had heard the thing on the radio about body parts having been found in the freezer, he was watching like late night news or like evening news, and he saw the same headline. And without even thinking, he just kind of like stood up instinctively and he just listened, like he just looked at the headline and then didn't think much of it. He sat back down. And then the same thing happened the next day. He was watching the news and the same headline came up. And again, he just stood up and, not knowing much, you know, like, they didn't say the victim's name, they didn't say the perpetrator's name, they didn't say anything. It was just like body parts found in the freezer. And he would just stand up. And then a couple of days would go by and then the perpetrator was said to be going to court. And when he heard this, he also just stood up. And I don't know what you can call it. I'm not a mother, but, you know, like, some people would say, like, just your parental instinct, or him just having like this bad feeling. And he would just always stand up, not knowing that those body parts actually belonged to his daughter. The next month, on the 16th of November, Tenoloso Tebang's sister called Tebang's father. And he was driving at this time. It was around 6:30 that evening. And she called him and she was like, "Do you know where Tebang is?" And her dad confidently answered, "No, man, she's back in Joburg. She's at school. It's exam time. She's just studying." And then afterwards, he's like, "You know what? Can we talk a bit later? I'm driving. I need to focus, you know, and I'll call you later." And then at around 8 p.m., he called Tenolo back and he was like, "You know, what were you saying earlier about Tebang?" And Tenolo said, "You know what? I'm so worried about Tebang because I can't get a hold of her." And they found body parts in her boyfriend's freezer, so I'm really worried. And then her dad was like, "Oh, like, who's her boyfriend?" And then Tenolo said, "Flavio." And her dad was so shocked and he was just trying to put like all the pieces together, but it didn't make sense in his head because obviously he had been seeing these headlines. He knew that, okay, a boyfriend had killed the girlfriend, but now Tenolo is saying that Flavio is Tebang's boyfriend, but he knew them as cousins and only that. So he was like, "I don't understand what you're saying. What are you saying about Tebang? Because if it is Flavio that, you know, had the body parts in his freezer, it said that it was his girlfriend, but Tebang is his cousin. Tebang is not his girlfriend. So what are you saying? It doesn't make sense." And after that, Tenolo said, you know what, I'm just gonna go to the police station because I'm worried. And then the next day she went to the police station to go file a missing persons report, but they told her that she was too young and she had to come back with someone older. I think this was because at the time she was around 16 or 17 years old, so she was underage, so she couldn't open the missing persons report. I don't know if there's like a particular age, but I'm assuming there is since they sent her back. And then she called her bank's father and told him that, listen, I can't do it myself. So then the next day after this, they got into the car and they drove to Protea Glen police station so that they could file a missing persons report for Tebang. So once they got there, they told them why they were there, and Tebang's father says it's almost as though like the police knew who Tebang was, because they were like, oh, Tebang. And then afterwards, you know, just thought it was a bit strange, didn't think much of it. They then took him to the commander's office and they told the commander why Tebang's father and Tenolo were there. And then afterwards he said, oh, I'm not in charge of this case, but I know the lead investigator, let me call him. Called the lead investigator and was like, listen, these people are here to see about Tebang, you know. Then afterwards the officer asked them to write a statement, and Tebang's father's like, why do you guys want me to write a statement? I'm here to file a missing persons report. You guys haven't found Tebang. Why must I write a statement? And then they told him, okay, it's fine. You guys can leave. And then before they left, they were like, but the body parts that were found in the freezer, like you saw the news, are you sure it's not Tebang? And Tebang's father was like, my daughter is alive. I don't know where she is right now, but that's not her. Those aren't her body parts. She's alive somewhere and we're just here to open a missing persons report. And then they said, okay, you guys can leave, but we'll get in touch with you so we can get some DNA samples. And again, her dad was like, why do you guys want DNA samples? Like, I don't understand what you guys are saying. This person is missing, but they're alive. You guys don't have any information about her. So why do you want statements? Why do you want DNA evidence? And then they said, okay, no, you know what? It's fine. You guys can leave, and once we get any news we'll let you know. Then on their way home, they received a phone call from the police, and it was to let them know that DNA evidence had confirmed that the body parts that had been found in the freezer belonged to Tebang. And her father was just in denial. He couldn't believe it. He was like, that's not my daughter. You know, like, you guys are wrong. So police managed to identify Tebang through two things, if I'm not mistaken, before the DNA evidence. So the first one is in the freezer, when they found body parts, they found two arms and two legs. So there's a picture where you can see Tebang has a tattoo on her forearm. So they called the family in to look at this identifying mark and to confirm if it was a tattoo that Tebang had. And then the second thing they did is that they took the fingerprints from the arms and then they ran it through the Home Affairs system and it came back as a match for Tebang. And then they would later find her head, and then through this they also confirmed that it was Tebang. 8 months after Tebang had been found, she was finally laid to rest. And the reason why it took her family so long to hold a funeral for her is because they were just hoping that they'd be able to find her torso, because they hadn't found it yet and they wanted to bury her whole. But it took so long and they just thought that they couldn't just keep her in the mortuary forever, so they had to bury her. And something that still haunts them to this day, that they weren't able to bury her as one. Eventually they started going to trial, and at first Flavio didn't seem remorseful at all. And then the second time her family went to the trial, Flavio didn't show up and they didn't know why, but it turned out that he had actually tried to take his own life for a second time. So it said that he was in, I think it was the prison, and he was working with one guard. The other guard wasn't there yet, and somehow he had managed to get a hold of a knife. So as they were walking, he turned around and tried stabbing the police officer, and then the police officer just kind of like ran and then closed the door. It was like a small little room, and then Flavio was left in the room and he took the knife. And some sources say that he kept stabbing himself like multiple times. Other sources say that he just stabbed himself once in the neck. but he did. And, you know, he was just walking up and down in the room. There's literally a video of this. It's in a documentary. I'll put the link in the description box below if you guys want to go see the video. It is very graphic. There's blood everywhere on the floor, and you can hear the officer like talking to his higher up, saying that no, you know, he was alone. The reason why he's recording is because he doesn't want any problems. And I'm assuming he just means like, let's, if Flavio were to have died, then they have like video evidence that he did it to himself. Flavio survived this suicide attempt, and after that he was taken for a mental evaluation, and after this mental evaluation he was found to be fine, and then the trial continued, and then a year later he tried taking his own life for a third time, but again he didn't succeed. And after this, I think he still went to court that same day, and there are photos of him where he looks completely like distraught, so emotional, and it's probably because, you know, he tried and he didn't succeed, which is why he's so sad, not because of the circumstances, about why he's going to trial. Flavio pleaded guilty, and this kind of came as a surprise to his family, and this is because his mother Grace says that Flavio is scared of blood, like scared of blood so much so that when his sisters would kill chickens and there'd be blood all over the floor, like he just, you know, like he just wouldn't want to be a part of it because he was so scared of blood. But he still did it. And then afterwards he finally gave a full confession. So in his confession he says that he found out that Tepang was cheating on him, and after he found this out he started googling ways to kill someone and various ways on how to dispose of a body. And this went on for about 2 months between September and October. And then there was one day where Tepang was at his home, and whilst she was there, he took her card, right? And then he took her card, went to go buy food, and then when he came back, Tepang was upset because he had taken her card without permission. And then they got into an argument, and as they were arguing he saw this as an opportunity to go through with what he had been planning for the past month or 2 months. So then he said that he pushed her, and then she hit her head against the stove, and then she fell to the floor and she was bleeding from her head. But at this point she was still alive. And then he took a knife and then he stabbed her in the neck once, and then that was fatal. He says that this murder happened between the 6th to the 13th of November. He's not too sure which day it happened, but when they looked at the body, they thought that the body had been in the freezer for about a month. So yeah, was probably lying about those dates. I don't know why though, if he gave like a full confession. So he said that after this he tried to put Tepang in the boot of his car, but he couldn't do it. I don't know why, maybe Tepang was too heavy, like the dead weight. But then he just left her, and then he left the house and he went to go buy drugs, cocaine to be specific. And he said that he went to go buy drugs so that he could get like the confidence to do what he was going to do next. Then when he got home, he took Tepang's body and he put it in the shower, and then he took a butcher knife, and this is when he dismembered her body. Once he was done, he took her head and disposed of it in Rand Park, where it was later found. And then he took her torso and threw it in the Klip Rivier, where it has still not been found to today. And then he took her arms and her legs and put them in the freezer, where he would open every day for a month so you could just look at it like the man he is. Flavio also said that after he had killed Tepang, he just wasn't in the right state of mind, and he was constantly drunk, and he was active on dating sites, and he started bringing different women to the house. And the reason why he bring different women to the house isn't because he wanted to have sex with them, it was just because he couldn't sleep alone. So they would just come over, spend the night, and then they would leave, which is also crazy to think about. because Tsepang was literally in his freezer, so he kept bringing different women over to the house, and she, like, they literally could have found her at any point. On the 31st of January 2023, so literally this year, Flavio was found guilty. And then as part of his pre-sentencing, he wrote a letter to her family. And in this letter, he basically just details his upbringing, his achievements, his education. And then he also just wrote about his relationship with Tsepang. So we have some pieces of what he wrote in the letter, so I'm going to read it to you guys. He said, "I apologize for only having an apology to offer. I can only apologize and take full responsibility for my actions. I hope with this apology I can give you some sort of solace. I cannot reserve my actions. I am deeply sorry from the bottom of my heart and I regret it every day of my life. I want you to know that I loved Tsepang so much and our lives are so intertwined that by taking hers, I ended mine. I know my actions are unforgivable. I am appealing to your higher nature to forgive me. I don't know if I deserve a second chance. However, if given one, I will use it more responsibly. I have a soul. My heart is now governed by remorse and regrets. I really am sorry. Now I start over, but this time without the naivety and innocence of before. And to Tsepang, my love, I am glad to know what true love really is. I never lied. For you, I would do it 1,000 times over." I just... Finally, on the 16th of May, so just a couple of months ago, Flavio was sentenced to life imprisonment for premeditated murder, along with a 10-year sentence for defeating the ends of justice and an additional 15 years for violating a corpse. The 10 and 15-year sentence will run concurrently with the life term. There is a theory going around that the reason why Flavio and Tsepang got into a relationship had to do with Grace, his mother, and it is also believed that the reason why her torso hasn't been found is because he gave it to his mother, who practices African traditional medicine, but, you know, in a more negative way. And one of his sisters is actually a traditional healer or a sangoma, so they think that maybe they, you know, did something allegedly. We don't know for sure, like, we don't know, maybe they had nothing to do with it. But Tsepang's father also says that to this day Grace has not went to go see him or even called to just check on him or say how sorry she is for what Flavio has done. He also says that Flavio's side of the family knew about his and Tsepang's relationship. So when news broke that body parts had been found in the freezer, that they should have went to the police and told the police that, you know what, maybe this is our niece. Or Grace could say, like, this is my niece. I think it's my niece. So that the police could go tell Tsepang about it, or Tsepang's father rather, about it as soon as news broke, instead of him having to find out months after she had died.